Hello, Bethel, and we are continuing our study in the Gospel of Matthew, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, because we are in chapter 6, and the Sermon on the Mount covers chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. And we're at the section beginning at verse 25, where the Lord Jesus is talking about two things that should not characterize his followers, two things that should not characterize those who are citizens of his kingdom: worry and anxiety. Why should people not worry? Anxiety seems to be just something that's so common to our human condition. And as some people have considered that question, they've adopted nihilism. Nihilism says that life is without objective meaning and purpose anyway. There's no intrinsic value to living. So don't think about the stuff that's bad, because really there's no such thing as good or bad or right or wrong. And so nihilism became associated with a cynicism, a pointlessness, a despair. And those people who adopted nihilism very often were people who were very anxious about the very existence of life itself. Stoicism, that was another way of thinking that was adopted by some people. Just maintain that spirit of imperturbability. Don't get upset. Maintain a stiff upper lip. Maintain composure in a world that's full of futility and hopelessness, because after all you can control is your own reaction. But the teaching of the Lord Jesus is very different, because along comes Jesus of Nazareth, the supreme teacher in history, and his message was essentially a political message about the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that's not based on a nation or an ethnicity, nor is it based on a religion. And by a religion, I mean a man-made, human-created set of rules and rituals and traditions. But in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus was talking about kingdom identity politics, those things that would be adopted and lived out by the citizens of his kingdom. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is effectively issuing a manifesto of the kingdom. These are the identity characteristics of his people, of the citizens of his kingdom. And those people would be identified by righteousness, and this whole spiritual movement would prioritize certain identity features. And so beginning in verse 25, he talks about what would not characterize his followers. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Jesus says it bluntly, doesn't he? Worry is unnecessary. Worry is silly. Anxiety is futile. And so if our Lord, the King of our kingdom, commands us not to worry, we know two things right away. Number one, worry is a choice. And number two, if we engage in worry, we are sinning against his command. The gospel worldview recognizes that we are not in control. In fact, we recognize that probably now more than ever. But we have confidence in someone who is in control. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that Christ is the one who not only created this universe, but he sustains it. He's our Lord, therefore we have confidence. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I've talked before about John Stott. He was a British theologian who died in 2011. Time magazine once said that he was one of the 100 most influential people in the world. John Stott was a bird watcher. That's a hobby that people call ornithology. But when he came across this verse, John Stott, the bird watcher, said this is ornithology, because there's a theological lesson that we can learn from birds. As people created in the image of God, and more than that, as citizens of his kingdom, we are ruled by our heavenly Father, and he cares deeply about us. Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worry cannot add to our lives. In Psalm 139, David said, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I think David was saying that our days, the hours of our life, are under God's sovereign, omniscient gaze. We can't control that. He is the one who controls it, and He loves us as our Heavenly Father. Verse 28, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these." Solomon, the son of David, was the wisest man who ever lived, and he was probably also among the most wealthy. It is said that during Solomon's reign in Jerusalem, he was the third king of Israel, that in Jerusalem, silver was as common as stones. Tremendous prosperity. And the point that the Lord Jesus is making is that simple wild flowers are more beautifully arrayed than this, one of the most wealthy kings that ever lived. Don't miss this. The Lord is deeply committed to righteousness and truth, but He's also committed to beauty. That's evident from creation. We who live in Northern Ontario understand that as well as anybody. Why do we have beauty all around us? Why do we have art? Why do we even as people have the capacity to enjoy beauty? It is because we are made in God's image. He appreciates beauty. Therefore, as those who reflect His image, we appreciate beauty. And we have the capacity, the desire to create, not just for function, but simply for aesthetic beauty. And that is unique to humans. Art, music, design, and so on. Verse 30. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Notice those last words. Would the Lord Jesus, in a conversation with me, say, "O you of little faith"? Ooh, that would be a stinging rebuke. But worry and anxiety are the opposite of faith. And so when I'm worrying, when I'm taken over by anxiety, faith is absent. I am failing to trust my all-powerful God. All people are created in God's image. All people are therefore more valuable than birds and flowers. But this promise is for God's people. And the gospel defines who are God's people. God's people are not God's people because of their ethnicity. They are not God's people because they have simply given intellectual assent or affirmation to some propositions. They are God's people only if they have a relationship with God through Christ. That's why we often talk about the gospel. The gospel in 25 words is the proclamation of the greatest news about the person of Christ and the work of Christ and the eternal benefit to any one of us who embraces Christ by repentant faith. Only then does a person have a relationship with God. Only then can somebody be categorized as God's child. Verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." These verses answer the question, why shouldn't I worry? I shouldn't worry because my omnipotent, omniscient God is in control. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Omniscient means all-knowing. And that describes the God of the Bible who has taken responsibility for the care of His children. Worry is a choice, but it is not one that's supported by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells and empowers the people of God. And if we choose, the Holy Spirit will give us what we need to learn not to worry. Here's a key verse, 33. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When He says seek first His kingdom, the Lord Jesus is not talking about first in terms of chronology, the first thing you do before the second or third or fourth, but He's talking about first in terms of priority. The primary objective of every citizen of His kingdom, the primary objective of every follower of Christ, must be to pursue Christ's kingdom and his righteousness, because his righteousness is the currency of his kingdom. We want to become people who are more like Christ. We want to be those people who increasingly have a capacity to reflect his image. And here's a diagnostic tool. When I'm worrying and when I'm anxious, that's a red flag that I'm probably not seeking first the kingdom and the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, the Lord Jesus concludes with verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The Lord Jesus is here talking about kingdom, identity, politics. His citizens, the citizens of the kingdom of God, are not consumed by anxiety or worry or stress. In fact, they are recognized that way. They are recognized as people who trust their loving God to care for them. This is not self-deception. This is not mindlessness. This is certainly not nihilism or stoicism. It's the gospel of Christ lived out in the people who are the citizens of the kingdom of Christ.